This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. Okay, we've been going through the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs, the book of Acts in sequence. Psalms for sweet spirit, wisdom for Proverbs, and power for a book of Acts. And tonight we're not going to do that. We're going to go somewhere else. So if you would open your Bibles to Psalm 145. There is a direct link between repentance and faith in salvation. I often refer to that as two sides of the same coin. You can have faith, but without repentance, insofar as salvation is concerned, you're not going to have it. Yep, right. All right? And you can have repentance. The repentance almost guarantees that faith is going to follow, because you're going to see your need and your inability, and that you need to do something, and therefore you can't do it on your own. You need the Lord to do it, and He already has. So that's the same side of one coin to me. The other coin that I want to bring up here is the goodness of God and really blessing. Or thankfulness, I'm sorry, the goodness of God and thankfulness. I think that they're two sides of the same coin. If you lack one of those, the other is not going to happen, even though you can mouth the words. So let's see where we go here. Well, Psalm 145. This is David's psalm of praise. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. If you go down to verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Let's have a short word of prayer and we'll get going. Father, we thank you for the good testimonies, the good prayer requests. We do look to see you answer them according to your will, and that we would be able to see the results soon, quickly, if possible. We thank you for the reading of your word. We pray that you'd bless it to our spiritual understanding. There is no use us even reading this word if we can't grasp the spiritual meaning behind what we're reading. And so we look to thee to work in our behalf, the Holy Spirit, working in the reception of the word and also the giving forth of it. Speak to our hearts tonight. Have your will in what happens here. Perchance, somebody's here without Christ. May they be convicted of their need to take care of this now and not sometime later, because now is all we have. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look down here in verse 7. And the Bible talks right in the middle there, the memory of thy great goodness. All right, so the goodness of God is one of over 100 attributes that makes up God and who He is. The goodness of God is foundational to any proper understanding of being thankful. So if you don't get anything else, I hope you get that. The goodness of God is foundational. In other words, it's fundamental to any proper understanding of being thankful. There's a lot of things we can be thankful for, and a lot of things really, there's not a heart behind it that brings in the goodness of God. And so one is going to lead to the other. In verse 9, he says, his goodness, all the Lord is good to all. To all. And that means lost people as well as saved people. Matthew 5:45 says, he maketh his son. That's an interest. I haven't caught that as much as that I ought to. He maketh his son, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and on the good. You know, the son wasn't created arbitrarily. The Lord created it. It's his son. And sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So he's good to all, the nice and the rotten, the saved and the lost, those who have sight and those who are blind, those who care and those who don't care. I mean, we live in an age of apathy. I mean, especially with spiritual issues. So, if you want, hold your place here. I think we're going to come back there. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. The Israelites are in the wilderness. Been there for a little bit. And the Lord has gone through their complaining and their murmuring concerning water. And now there's another complaint. And so God's going to have to deal with it. Verse 1, chapter 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Now, what was taking place? Well, the Lord has sustained them by feeding them with manna. It was a miraculous thing that he did there. You know, life is full of miracles. Being born again is a miracle. The work of the Holy Spirit within us and conveying to us what we should do and what we shouldn't do is miraculous. So they complained. They got tired of God's blessing. And so they took his goodness for granted. Bad thing to do. And so God had to chasten them for what they did, because that's what they were doing. When you take something that is spiritual for granted, you're on dangerous ground. Very dangerous. You do know that we have done that as well. We have had these blessings, we have had the acts of goodness by God on us for so long that oftentimes we take them for granted. Do we actually think that we're worthy of that goodness? That we deserve that goodness? Or that should we expect that goodness? His goodness should be humbling. When we read verse 7 and then we read verse 9, the memory of thy great goodness, and then all the Lord is good to all, that should be humbling. You know, I don't have a corner of the market on his goodness. Neither do you. Neither does any believer. Neither does any non-believer. So what I want to talk about tonight is the sin of taking God's goodness for granted, because it is a sin. So go with me to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And we'll begin here in verse 1. Romans 2, 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. Now he's obviously not talking about righteous judgment, because we are told to judge righteously like that. So don't get the idea with these people that say you're never supposed to judge. These are two different things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? All right, now verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Now, oftentimes the conventional lack of wisdom declares that God's goodness is materialism, money, things with no lasting substance. The Jews thought that to some degree as well. And so some people even take it to the incorrect spiritual avenue of God's goodness is extended to all, and all are going to go to heaven and none are going to go to hell. And we know that's false. All right. The truth is that the believers at Rome are not the only ones that he was talking about. He was talking about us. He's been talking about a lot of people. And all we have, all that we are, have come to us through God's goodness. And because of God's goodness. You and I can't take credit for any of that. And if we do, then who gets the glory? We do. And he doesn't want to share his glory with anybody. So why not put it where it should be? These things have come from the Lord. And so he says in the verse, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? The word despise there is talking about to treat with scorn or contempt or to take for granted. Goodness is not just the opposite of bad. It obviously would include that. But it means to be kind, benevolent, gracious, merciful. And that goodness is the outpouring of who God is. This is who he is. So God would rather bless you and humble you through, though undeserving, and through these blessings, get you to a place where you get right with God in repentance for salvation or in the Christian life. Some people think that repentance is only for salvation and not in the Christian life. But a proper understanding of 1 John 1:9 is that the confession of sin to him includes an acknowledgement of the sin itself, a repentance of it, and the power through the Holy Spirit not to return to it. You know, we're not dogs. We're not going to return to, not supposed to return to our vomit. And all of that is important. But if we walk away from him, if we walk away from his word, if we walk away from the truths that are given to us, then he's going to judge us as saved people. He's going to scourge us. He's going to chasten us. Because he is our Father, and we are his children through faith in Christ. He wants us to be at the place where we wonder, we ask, why, Lord? Why are you so good to me? When I become so harsh and so angry and so bitter, and I offer nothing back to you, How can you extend your goodness to me through all of that? Well, the Shepherd Psalm, Psalm 23, in verse 6, concludes with this: surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We don't deserve that, but yet we have that promise. Goodness is God's nature. We don't deserve anything that God has done for us, but one thing: we deserve hell. All of us deserve that. That's what we deserve. You know, when we come to the place where you say, you know, I've got my rights, and this is what I should have this, and so forth. We should have one thing and one thing only: perish in hell for all eternity. We don't deserve another day of life. We don't deserve the families we have. We don't deserve the church family we have. We don't deserve that. And it's His goodness, His long-sufferingness, His compassion, His mercy and His grace that these things come our way. So go back to Lamentations. And as you can guess, Lamentations are right after the book of Jeremiah. These were written, Lamentations of what God was doing to Israel because of their sin. It's a very, very sad book. But in the sadness of the book, there's also light. So we'll start here in verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Now, Jeremiah was talking about the people of Israel. Can you look at that and say, I can put myself there? It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because the Lord's compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. The goodness of God, the long-suffering of God, His compassion, His faithfulness. Psalm 25:8 says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. Go with me to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. And let's go down here in verse, I think it's verse 19. Nope. It might be 31. It might be 15. No. 31. Oh, I know where it is. It's right where it's supposed to be. You know where I was? Not where I was supposed to be. Psalm 31, and look at verse 15. No, it's verse 19. O great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of man. Great is thy goodness. In Psalm 52, verse 1, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. We spoke the other day about continual guidance, divine guidance, about the indwelling Holy Spirit. Well, His mercy, His goodness endureth continually as well. And I think through the person of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 33, verse 5, He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is filled with the goodness of the Lord. Where can you look in the earth today that you don't see God's goodness? Psalm 10, verse 7 and 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. His goodness is everywhere, and it's to all. And it's even in the earth. So, Psalm 145, if you want to turn there, deals or focuses on His goodness. I mean, there's many passages we could go to, but I'm trying to stick to here. And since Psalm 145 focuses on God's goodness, I ask, have you, and I'm asking myself, have I been guilty last week or this week or even today of taking the goodness and kindness of God for granted in our lives? And an honest answer is, for me, I have. I can't answer for you. But, you know, we thank Him for this and we'll thank Him for that. But how much of His goodness is taken for granted? That you got here safely. How many of you understand you got here safely because of the goodness of God? And you take that for granted, because a lot of things we do are mechanical. And once you find out things that you can't do that you used to do, then you appreciate what you could do when you had the ability to do it and didn't consider God at all in all of that. Verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. You know, the lost look at God as mean, hateful, unkind, unloving. How could God allow this to happen and that to happen, these tragedies and these diseases and these wars and so forth? And while there's much that we could talk about here, the answer is pretty simple. It's called sin. If sin was not in the world, we wouldn't have all of that. And if you want to go even further, you can go to Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18 through verse 28, and you see the three walkaways. Three times God said, you know, I'm giving you this and I'm giving you that, and they didn't want it. And so he gave them up, and he gave them up, and he gave them up. Three walkaways. So long before a body was diagnosed with cancer, long before a needy job was lost, long before there was death in the family, long before an event happened where we became discouraged and bitter and then questioned God, it was by God's grace and goodness that these things did not happen sooner. I remember getting my second knee done. So I had the bad one done early, and then in the fall of 2010, I had the other one done. And I got a gift of I forgot what I wound up with, but it included a fever of 102.7, and so eventually I had to get a hold of Dr. Rivera, and he prescribed some antibiotics, and he said, once the temperature goes down, let's go get a blood test. So I did. And my PSA count was 25.8. So I look, and ultimately through all of that, then it was a prostate cancer that we dealt with the year after. But what led to that? It led to getting a knee replacement and an infection to find that out, whereas if I hadn't done that, had that happened, I probably wouldn't have had that checked. And it would have gone beyond where it was, which was right in the middle, to probably, because since it was aggressive, to a place where, you know, I may not have had that. So anyway, when the doctor said, you know, this is cancer, I want you to go down to the drugstore, get this container and drink all this nonsense and so forth, and then we'll go from there. So, and I've said this before, I went down to the drugstore. Before I went in, the Lord and I just had a talk. And I said, I've always said to myself and to our church people that God can do with us whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it. And so now I have to live up to that and understand that I'm thankful for what I've had before. That it took all this time to get it as opposed to getting it young in life. And either way, I knew that I was going to be the winner. If I went home to be with the Lord, I would win. There may be a few people that are sad, but I would win. And if I beat this thing to some degree through the medicine, then the Lord would have things for me to do. So in either way, I was comfortable. Was it something that I was concerned about and our family was? Yes. But there was an attitude, an understanding of God's goodness. Sometimes we just look at these things and we say, you know, how could God do this? But again, it's it's by God's goodness that we look at these things and are just glad that His goodness still is going on. We need. I think we kind of look at things sometimes we don't have and conclude that God is not fair. Well, life isn't fair, but God is fair. That God might be mean, He might be upset, He might be cruel, but that's not the case. The Jews took His goodness for granted over and over and over again in the wilderness. How many of the possibly 2.5 million people that came out of Egypt made it to the Promised Land? Two. All those that came after were the children and maybe the grandchildren. Those are the ones that entered other than Joshua and Caleb. They all perished because they took God's goodness for granted. And they became complacent. They became neglectful. There's a sort of expected mentality. Like the breath of life. You don't expect to go to bed tonight and not wake up. You expect to wake up. Do you take that for granted? When you go into surgery, even simple surgery, I try to make sure that, you know, we pray, because simple surgeries aren't always simple. Accidents happen. And you may not wake up. So, when's the last time you thanked God for the health and the breath of this day, or any day, for your family, for the preserved Word of God, for each other? I mean, we have a thing here where we say constantly, pray for one another. Even though you don't know what's going on, pray for one another. Because God knows what's going on. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how blessed do you feel today? Somebody might say 1. And somebody might say a 4 or 7. And usually you're coming from temporal circumstances. And oftentimes we compare ourselves to each other. Psalm 19, great passage here. Psalm chapter 19. In verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and it shall be innocent from the great transgression. Presumptuous sins. God, they've got this and I don't. Presumptuous. Sometimes it's in our attitude. Sometimes it extends. Let's put it this way. How thankful were you for God's goodness when you got saved? Probably pretty thankful. You might have even been so thankful that you wanted to tell somebody else about what you had in Christ. Then you got a little bit older in Christ. You weren't quite as excited. And you got a little bit older. And you got mature in the Christian life. And suddenly you took these things for granted. I think it's a sin to be complacent, where these things don't matter. They all matter. They always matter. What is it in God's Word that doesn't matter? God takes blessing and goodness away sometimes. I think He took it away in the book of Numbers. I think He takes it away in the New Testament as well sometimes. Doesn't mean He's taken away the Holy Spirit, but the action of the Holy Spirit has been quenched. And you're on your own. Remember in Numbers 11, God was displeased. God heard what they were doing, and He got angry. Do you think he does anything less with us today when we take his goodness for granted? Listen, the goodness of the access to God's goodness is the foundation of properly being thankful. That's what I want to convey to myself and to you, that we can, and we're good at this. We can mouth the words, but there's something missing. Because we've taken something about God for granted, and we shouldn't take anything for granted. And his goodness is really the other side of being thankful. We say, you know, tomorrow's the day of Thanksgiving. You know, the people that have nothing better to do than try to make anything relating to God extinct think that the name of Thanksgiving should be changed. What are you going to call it? It's the day of Thanksgiving. And there's a lot of people that are going to be thankful for a lot of things, and none of them, I'm not saying all of them, I'm saying many of them have nothing to do with God's goodness. All right? And God hears that. And I think God is displeased, and I wouldn't be surprised if one day he's going to say, okay, I'm done. You know, this is enough. When God's people who are called by my name are going to go through this charade, I think it's time to call these people home. And let's bring judgment on the earth. Just as much as he would through abortion, the slaughter of the innocents. You know, who do we think we are? That we've come to the place that we can go through like this, have no concern, no compassion for anything, and yet we can... I'm so thankful. I'm not saying that dead people aren't thankful. I'm saying that a lot of times we just have a missing element to this. And it's not a thankfulness that God recognizes. Even though, I mean, we're sincere, but if we haven't included the goodness of God and who he is. So we've made it a human condition, when in fact it's not a human condition. So I just pray that we'll take these things to be a blessing to us, and that we'll in turn try to apply these things in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we of all people should come before you with thanksgiving. Not just for some national holiday. We can be thankful for the food. We can be thankful for the company. We can be thankful for a host of things. And never be thankful for your goodness. And when we think of the importance of your goodness, the byproduct is that it leads us to be right with you. To come to the place of repentance. Either to be saved by grace through faith, or in the Christian life to make things right. I pray that we would take the authority of your word over the authority of a human being and put it to use in our lives. I pray that you do give us a great day tomorrow, but also on Monday, I mean on Friday, and on Saturday, and on Sunday, and on Monday, and on Tuesday, and on every day that's not a national holiday, that we recognize your work, and what we have, and what you have given to us up to this point, is only because of your goodness. And we need to recognize that and be thankful for what we have now, knowing that your goodness is it can extend continually until we go to home to be with you or you come for us. It is great to be in your hand. It is great to know that you're working things out for your honor and your glory, even though we don't understand many of them. It's great to have the assurance that we are in fact your children through faith in Christ, and it's not just words. There's a reality to it. And I pray that that's what our lives would be made up with, a reality that puts you first, gives you the preeminence, and allows you to do with us however you want. So speak to our hearts, give us a good rest of the week, we pray, and that you'll bring us safely back on Sunday, if not before, and that you'd answer these requests as they were given, prayed for, and will continue to be prayed for by your people. And we ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay for the full debt of your sin. Please call us, or write us, or email us in this most important matter, or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.